Because it's a zeicher. Our mikdash shvat is a zeicher of the korban. Also, anyway, we're not talking about doing it inside the shul. You'd be doing it in the lobby opposite the entrance. That's where we do it. So it wouldn't be in the base of Nessus anyway itself.
Yod Gimel Av, 25th of July, Rabbi Daniel Travis, Panosa guaranteed.
Honor for me to be here. In fact, I am actually a British citizen, and why do I have this passport? Because they wouldn't let me. My wife is from Brazil, and they wouldn't let me into Brazil with an American visa. And so I had to get a British passport. And I haven't been back in England for the past 35 years, so it's nice to be back for a Simcha.
35 years.
Wow. When I mentioned the title of the Tashir. So there was a little bit of a hesitation. And I was told the name of Reisman, Israel Reisman is a close friend of mine, that you can't guarantee Parnassah. And in fact, I'm not guaranteeing it. It's actually based on the Gemara Yerushalmi, which I'll quote here in English. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that whoever says Parshas Aman every day, right, has their Parshas guaranteed. Vamar Rav Chalban and the Ar, I believe Rav Chalban was in Amora. So the Gemara Yerushalmi guarantees one's parnasa for saying Parshas Aman every day. And I remember when I first got married, I was working on my series of Praying with Joy, which number 4 is about this topic. And I happened to flip through a sefer. It was called a Tashbat. It's a very interesting sefer. It was written by one of the Talmidim, the Maharami Rutenberg. The Maharami Rutenberg was perhaps one of the greatest of all Ashkenazi Rishonim. He was put in jail unjustly. And they asked a major bail for him. It was such a high amount that he passed and it's forbidden to pay it. Because if you start paying such big bail, then every Monday and Thursday, they're going to come and take Jews and ask for a major bail. So he actually died in jail. But one of his talmidim, the Tashbats, came and wrote down his psakim in the jail. And one of the things he wrote down was this psak about Parshas Aman. I was so like blown away by this that I started saying it every day. And I learned as a avreich, a young avreich by Rosviko Shalevsky. In fact, I'm leaving early because I was involved with making a shidduch. One of my students is getting married to him. I was involved with the shidduch. They're getting married on Friday. Uh-huh. And Rosviko Shalevsky always taught us, when a Rishon says something, every single word has to be taken very seriously. So if a Rishon is saying that if you say these parshas aman every day, your panos will be guaranteed, we have to take that with great seriousness. Yeah, so, what is this really all about? Excuse me? Baruch Hashem, you know, I have three kolim and about 50 talmidim, and it seems like the money comes in every month. We haven't had a problem yet. I'm not saying people want to give me, I'll take the money. And in any event, so I believe it's as follows. And the truth is, I wrote this sefer, and it goes to the Parshas Aman every day, 2-minute lessons to understand it. And I believe it's as follows. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of money on their health, especially Americans. You know, in America, health is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Vitamins, the right food, exercise. And it's good. It's a good thing to take care of your health. It's very important. Right? But you have to take care of your physical health, and you have to take care of your spiritual health. Right? When you want to be fit, you know, every morning I wake up very early and I do bicycling in my office and I ride a bicycle. Very important. But how do you keep spiritually fit? Especially Emunah. Now, Emunah, Chazal tell us, throughout the history of the Jewish people, we've tried to narrow the Torah down to principles. Because principles are very useful. When you have a principle, you have a grasp on the entire Torah. So Habakkuk said there's really one principle that goes through the entire Torah, and that's Tzadik Be'Emunaso Yechiyeh, to live with Emunah, right? And you know, a person who learns in yeshiva, he learns in kol or whatever he does, it's not so hard to have Emunah, you know? If he's lucky, he's getting supported by his shver or his parents, and maybe by his wife, by this. He's not in the open world of business and involved with, you know, the back and forth of life necessarily. So, you know, his Emunah might be a different type of Emunah. When a person's in the, you know, in the workforce, and, or let's say he's maybe a Rosh Kol who has to raise money, or whatever he might be doing, so then you need Emunah. You need Emunah. You need to realize and understand that our Parnasa comes from above. Right? And in fact, the man is called Lechem Min HaShemayim. Lechem Min HaShemayim. The Netziv says a beautiful pshat. He says from the man, it was clear, you could see it. When you saw the man, it was clear that it was coming from above. But, you know, a person gets his paycheck, or however he, you know, it gets his, it wired into his account, it doesn't necessarily feel like it's coming from Hashem. It's very easy to make the mistake of Koichi Ba'otzim Yadi, Asli Yetzachai Lezeh, that my own initiative brought it. My own initiative brought about. So what can we do? If we want to be physically healthy, we can exercise and eat well. What do we want to do spiritually? So that's why I think that the answer, or not the answer, but an answer to this question, is saying Parshas Amon every day. Parshas Amon is the psukim that talk about when Klal Yisrael is in the Midbar, it's 32 psukim, when we traveled in the Midbar for 40 years, and we were only sustained by the man. Right? All we had to eat was the man. A person who says these psukim every day, it's as if he relives that experience. And you realize, you know, mon and money are not so far apart. You know, just the yud there. Mon and money. And the truth is, I once remember my son, who's now 19, when he was very young, I asked him, you know, so where does bread come from? He says, from the grocery store, from the makolot. Yeah. Where does it come from? And the truth is that the mon falling down every single day for Klal Yisrael, it was just less steps, you know. We take seeds, you put them in the ground, they sprout, you cut them down. You know, there's a halacha that when you make hamotzi, you put 10 fingers on the bread. Why is that? Who knows why? What's the reason for that? What's that? 10 halachas, very good. There's also 10 words in hamotzi, right? There's actually 11, if you count the Mishnah, 11, but basically 10 in making bread. There's 10 different steps. And those 10 different steps, in the Midbar, we just had one step. It fell straight down from Shemayim. But all those steps are really just harchakos. They're really just distincts helping us to internalize that really it's all coming from Hashem. We have to know that everything's coming from Hashem. But that's a very hard thing to do. You know, it's very hard when you're in a physical world. The Zohar says the entire world is Sibo Umasovev. That you do something and something happens. You do something and something happens. You do something and something happens. One of my talmidim was taking me, you know, around London yesterday, trying to find to get in touch with donors, and not so many people opened the door. And I told them a little story that I was in New York last year, and I was invited somewhere for Shabbos. Invited for Shabbos lunch. I went to the house, and surprisingly enough, they weren't home. Now this was quite odd, if I might say so. Because usually when you get invited for Shabbos lunch, you knock on the door, right? And they open the door. There was nobody home. I knocked again, nobody home. Third time, no one. I said, you know what? It seems like nobody's home. Anyway, so I went three doors down to their neighbors who I'm friendly with. And I knocked on the door. The wife answers. She said, I'm sorry, we don't take collectors on Shabbos. I said, well, I'm actually, you know, not collecting on Shabbos. I'm good friends with your husband, Moshe. I'm embarrassed a little bit. I got stuck, you know. I was in a shower because I washed, and I was coming to this house I was invited to. I'm in the middle of my suda, and I have nowhere to eat. Yeah. Oh, sad, no problem, come in. I walk in, and there's a guest there at the house. And the guest says, this is so interesting. Just 1 minute ago, I said, I had a tremendous sorrow this week. The next person who asked me, I have to give them a tremendous amount of money. And he says, come to the shop, and I write you a big check. And I was like, wow, that's so interesting, you know. Here I was, 5 minutes ago, knocking on the door, and wondering, this is crazy. How can you be invited for Shabbos? And you know, the host's not home. And then I realized it was all, you know, Hashem setting things up. And in truth, okay, I have a lot of unusual stories. I have a book here, Art School, just put out a book of my stories, Encounters of Greatness. But the point here is that it's all just steps. However much money is going to be coming to us, it's coming to us anyway, right? We have to do it. We're mechuyev to do a shtadlus. Rav Avram ben Rambam, the Rambam's son, wrote a book called Hamaspik Ba'Ovid Hashem. Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam. He writes there, there's a bear to do too much ishtadlus, and that we learn out from the bond. If they would take too much mud, it would just disappear. And there's an aver to do too little ishtadlus. If a person doesn't do the right amount of ishtadlus, so then he's done an aver, right? Because he's like, as if it were, he's being matriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, I want there to be ishtadlus in the world, because that's the way Hashem hides behind the cloak of ishtadlus. You have to do amount of ishtadlus. It's one of the hardest questions to answer. A person has to be in very close connection with himself to know how much ishtadlus he do, what is his obligations, what is he meant to do, how much are his needs, etc. But everyone's obligated to do some ishtadlus. And this is really the very, very difficult question that we all have to answer. Now, I think it was about 3 years ago, Motzi Rosh Hashanah, I was in a taxi in Israel, and a taxi driver asked me the following question. He said, Arav, he said, we just said Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Beit Sadaf Yud Zayin, it says there that on Rosh Hashanah, a person's parnasa is set for the whole year. So Arav, why don't I go to the bank today, right? Let's say I need, 200,000 shekels for next year. I should go to the bank, take out my bank statement. It should be 200,000 shekels. Lama, right? It's a good question, no? Hashem's giving out parnasa for the whole year. So just go straight to the bank, you know? They have these things today. Easy transfer access, PayPal, I don't know what. So what's the answer? Anyone know the answer to this question?
He doesn't know how much he's going to get. There's no way.
Okay. But Hashem knows how much he's going to get.
Hashem, he does.
So why does Hashem transfer the money right away? Make an easy access transfer. Chase, PayPal, all these technological ways we can have today. Okay. So I said it's a good question. The Medrash asked the question. The Medrash says, why doesn't Hashem just give us the money for the whole year on Rosh Hashanah? Oh, excellent. Very good. Very good. The Medrash brings a mashal, you know. Let's say you have a king. And, I think there was a chassan here recently. One of the royal family got married. I think it was a commoner, you know, American. But anyway, I won't mention that here. But in any event, so the king has a son. And the king gives the son 200,000 shekels, you know, however much he's supposed to get. He's not going to see him for the rest of the year. The next time he's going to see him is the next time the check's coming out. But says the Medrash, if the son has to come every single day to the king and ask him for his money, then he'll have a relationship with the son. And that's really, this is really the point of tefillah, and this is really the point of our parnasa and our anything. Because Hashem wants a constant relationship with us. You know, the word tefillah, a lot of people translate as prayer. And that's pretty good. I think art school probably does. It's a pretty good translation, right? But there's two deeper pshatim to tefillah, right? Anybody know what is lispalel? What does it mean?
Be attached.
Oh, excellent. That's the second one. That's the omic. But the first one is from Refersh. Refersh explains. I mean, it's a pashat pshat. Litpalel means to judge yourself. To judge yourself. Every time we stand up for Shemona Esrei, we're judging ourselves. How does that work exactly, right? Because, like, let's say Chas v'Shalom, a person gets a basura, then he's sick, he has to take care of some medical thing, right? So there's really two things al pi halacha he has to do. One of them is to daven, and one of them is to see a doctor, right? Which one does he recognize is his main ishtadlus? Is his main thing? If he recognizes that the main thing is tefillah, you have to see a doctor, you know. In fact, Ramban writes, you don't have to see a doctor. If a person's in a high enough madriga bitochin, doesn't need. As far as I understand, there's almost nobody in the whole world today who's on that madriga, maybe a couple of rare, exceptional individuals. You have to go to a doctor. And you have to go to the best doctor. You know, I was once involved with a certain medical question, and I called up, I think it was Benny Fisher. Benny Fisher, who was a medical advisor, he said, you know, many of the doctors in this country are butchers. They enjoy using their knife, you know. Okay, so you have to be very careful. You have to find the best doctor. That's one. But the main ishtadlus is tefillah. The main ishtadlus is tefillah. I'll tell you a quick story. How much time do I have? Another 15 minutes. Very quick story. When my wife and I got married, we had a plethora of sorrows, right? My father-in-law was passed away 3 days before we got married. And then we went to her shul zaman rabbi. He said, just don't tell your wife that her father passed away. Okay, you know, he was living in Rio de Janeiro. It was before text messages. You could get away with something, right? Then, okay, finally, after the Sheva Bracha, someone told her, she said, Shiva, I went to Brazil, where my mother-in-law, I hadn't met her before, and I was mugged there on the beach. The whole year was like this. Fires, pneumonia, meningitis, my daughter was born, hospitalized many times. Finally, she comes out of the hospital, and I was hit by a car, and almost pronounced dead, all in 1 year. And it just continued after that as well. I went to many, many different gedolim, and in the end, I went to a Rav Shlomo Brevda Zatzal. I don't know if you know who he was. He was my Rebbe for 18 years. And I told him many times, I used to come back often. One day he says to me, you know what, Rabbi Travis, come back tomorrow and I'll have the answer to all your problems. All of them. And I'm like thinking, what's the answer to all my problems? You know? I come back the next day, Rebbe says to me, the answer to your problems is tefillah. He said, I'm going to write you a special tefillah and I promise you in a short time it'll get better. And it did. It was amazing. Afterwards I asked him, can I print the tefillah? He says, well, it's patented. You know, it's patented. But in some of my svarim, I actually do print the tefillah. I might say for praying with joy. But this is really, tefillah, on one level, is to judge yourself. That's what Rav Hirsch says, litpalel. Every time you get up to daven, right? And again, davening is very, very hard. It's a very hard avoda. One of my students once said, she's a doctor actually, she said, the proof that the Yetzer Hara is Shmon Esrei. He said, my mind is blank. You know, before I start davening, the moment I start, like 10,000 thoughts come in there. You know, all my best thoughts come in. As soon as I get these great ideas, they're like bombarded with it, right? Litpalel, to judge yourself, is how much do I really believe that everything is incumbent on tefillah? That's one definition. What's your name?
Rosenberg.
Mr. Rosenberg, Rosenberg. So that's the second shot, which I believe is even more amuk, is tefillah comes from smid psil, it's connection. Yeah, a psil is a connection. Tefillah is the time of the day where we connect ourselves to Hashem. And, you know, my daughter learned here in England, Gateshead Yeshiva. We have to apply five times every time. Gateshead, they call it the base medrash Rabbanos, you know. Gateshead Seminary, the base medrash. She said, it's a base medrash Rabbanos. That's what she said. Anyway, so we had to apply five times. They rejected us. They said, just keep applying, eventually she'll get in. Okay, she got in. And so I think it was Rav Tadros Miller, or one of the rabbis there, asked him once, what's the most important part of tefillah? And all the girls gave different answers. And my daughter said, what do you think? What's the most important part of tefillah? What would you say? Shmon Esrei. What? Shema Kaleinu. Any other answers?
Avos.
Anything else? Mod. Okay, these are all great answers. You know, but I'll tell you what my opinion is, and it's based on the Gemara and Yuma. Right? The Gemara and Yuma says, yeah, that whoever davened Shmon Esrei and doesn't take the three steps backwards, it's better they didn't daven. Right? And that's what my daughter said. So she said, how did you know that? Right? Why is it so important? Because there's an expression, one of the, an Alter Yid from the Alter Haim told me in Yiddish, when they used to leave the shtetl to go to the Golden Medina, right? That's America. So they used to have an expression in the shtetl. It was, su shver scheiden nish scheiden. If it's hard to leave, you don't leave. And I said, wow, that's great. I have to use that for sure. That's the yisod of tefillah. If it's difficult to leave Shmon Esrei, then it's considered you're davening the whole day, right? What? There's a special halach in Shmon Esrei, which I'm sure you're all aware of it, but we don't think about it necessarily. When you finish Shmon Esrei, which foot do you use to go back?
Left
foot. And why is that? Because it's supposed to be hard to leave, right? The left foot is your weaker foot. So that's what, if it's hard to leave, you don't leave. If you stay connected with Hashem, if your Shmon Esrei connected you with Hashem, if the rest of the day you're thinking, I have a problem in my work, in my learning, I turn to Hashem. I have a problem with my health, I turn to Hashem. I have a problem with my panas, I turn to Hashem. If the whole day you're thinking, I want to be connected more and more to Hashem, then Hashem will help you. Right? And so before Shirashi in Chumash, right? Rashi says by Yosef, Kol Hashayasi Yatzliach. Everything he did was successful. What does Rashi say there? Anybody know? Oh, very good. Shem Hashem, Shogar Mepiv. Yosef HaTzadik, he was working, would say, Hashem, please help me with this. It happened. Hashem, please help me with this. It happened. All the time with Shem Hashem. Because that Rosh Hashem Pinkus told me, he says, when you say Hashem's name, he comes and he helps you out. If you don't ask, he doesn't help. It's a phenomenon in the world. Yeah, you have to turn to Hashem at a constant basis. Right? And the more you daven, and the more amunah you have in your leif, so the more Hashem will help you. Right? How do you build that amunah? So I want to read to you a letter that I got from Shlomo Brevda. It took me 18 years. He refused me like 50, 60 times, but I'm very persistent. So he says like this. He says that he brings a stira in Mishlei. There's a pasuk that tells us that the aspirations of tzaddikim bring joy. But there's another pasuk in Mishlei that it's difficult to aspire for something. It causes a heartache. So Rabbi Yonah says that there's two types of heartache. Yeah? There's two types of aspirations. There's somebody who davens for something for years and years and years, and he's not worried about the fact he didn't get answered. He says like this, they never worry on the fact they've not been praying for many months with no positive answer from Hashem. Yeah? They feel great satisfaction and joy over the fact that for a long period of time they've been putting their trust, hopes, and aspiration only into devout prayer to Hashem, and not into human initiative. The more time they spend on these prayers, weeks, months, with no positive response, the more joy and satisfaction they feel, knowing that these devout prayers are indeed an act of great service to Hashem by placing their hopes and faith only in Him. Right? And one is an avoda. Right? We have to work on it every single day. If you don't work on it one day, then you know you'll be plummeting. And that's why Lamaisa, the Sfarim say, whoever says Parshas Aman every day, he's from the Ochlei Man. Yeah? From the Ochlei Man, it says the Torah is not given, was only given to Ochlei Man. If a person says Parshas Aman every day, he's from the Ochlei Man. He's like the people who ate man in the Midbar. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Because the Ramban explains that man wasn't like, you know, a tuna fish sandwich, the man. It could taste whatever you wanted. But the man was a spiritual food. It was a food that made you, turned you around. Incredible Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra says, like, the Jews were slaves in Mitzrayim, and now they got the whole Torah. They had to start saying Chakirs and Reb Chaim Brisker and the Rambam. How did they do that? He says the man was like smart pills. It gave them Dakus HaSeichel. It made them more able to learn the Torah. And this is what the school, the Parshim. I don't call it a segula, right? I try not to do any segulas, right? It's a look. You look in the first sentence of Shulchan Aruch. It says it's good to say Parshim. It's not a chiyuv, yeah, because I believe working on bitachon can't be a chiyuv. Right? The Aruch of Shulchan asks, if Parshim is so chashuv, so why did they put it into the Seder Tzvilas? Put it in. Make it, you know, right after Aleinu. Okay. Someone said Aleinu is Tfilas Adaret. People are saying it when they go to Shul, so you know. So what so the Aruch HaShulchan answers, he says, because it mentions complaining too many times. There's a word in Yiddish I'm sure you're familiar with, krechsing, right? Klai Yisrael, they're krechsing, oh, mun again, you know, we have it morning and all the time, mun. Right? There's too much complaining. I believe you could say a slightly different answer. Yeah? Is that you can't be mechayev someone to have a munah. Remember, I once had this conversation with a non-religious woman, right? That, you know, in my younger years, I said, oh, I'm going to prove to you about emunah. She said, you can't prove that. That's emunah, she said. You can't prove that. That's emunah. I was a Talmud when I was a bacher by Ramosha Meisman. Right? Ramosha Meisman is a very smart person. He has a doctorate from one of the most biggest colleges in America, MIT. And he told me when he was taking statistics, he made a bet with his teacher, who was Jewish, right? If I could statistically prove that God exists, you'll become from. And she agreed. And he did it. And she didn't become from. Because it doesn't help to prove to people things. It has to come from your heart, emunah. You can't obligate emunah. Emunah has to be something that comes from the very depths of your soul. Right? And that's it. So, Parshas Aman, it's rishus. It's tov. The Shulchan Aruch brings it with a few other things. Actually, Korbanos is a chiyuv. Right? It's brought in. Mishnah Berurah says Korban Tamid is a chiyuv. Keter is also what should be said every morning. Other Korbanos, that's a chiyuv. But Parshas Aman, Parshas Akedah, other things, these are Parshas Tshuva. All these things, these are a rishus. If you want to work on it, you have the choice, right? And it's very kedai, right? Because when a person has a muna, you have such a better life, you know? Your life is so much more pleasant. Rebda, also Rav Dan Segel, told us for shame the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim Levenstein, they used to say, a person should build his life around tefillah. How do you do that? He said, whenever you need something, daven a short tefillah. And when you get it, thank Hashem. This is not my hat, I forgot to bring my hat here. But when I went to buy my hat, before I went to the store, I said, "You're at some fanecha, Hashem Elokeinu shetazor li." I'm so kovim matim afal pishen kedai. The tefillah of Reb Rebda. I walked in the store. The first hat he shows me, it was fine. The guy was fainted. I said, "Like, what's wrong?" He said, "In 20 years, that never happened before. Like, what's the secret?" I said, "Secret is tefillah." Yeah. I was in Manhattan waiting half an hour for a taxi with somebody, and I said, "No, what? We forgot to daven." I daven, the taxi comes right away. Yeah. And it's not a secret. It's out there. Reb Rebda said, "You know, he has a patent on tefillah. It's out there. It's a Rashi and Chumash." Shem Hashem, Shogar Bapiv. When you mention Hashem's name, then he comes. The Medrashim B'Shalach says, why did Hashem send the Mitzrim and Nechosh Makravim, the Yam? He says, it's not that we have a Tzara, we have to daven. Hashem sends us Tzara because he wants our Tfilas. He's trying to get us to daven. When, why do you have to wait half an hour for a taxi? He says, because Hashem is waiting for you to daven. The moment you daven, you'll get it. And this is so important when it comes to a parnasa. You know, because parnasa can be very difficult. Yeah? But and you'll see. And I told that, you know, I told many, many people, I have like hundreds of stories about this. Some of them I placed on the back of this sefer. But I said, people, say parshaman, everyone tells me the same thing. They see it going smoother. They think things are going, and it's pasha-wise, it's simple. Because Hashem wants our tefillahs. That's what Rebbe told me. He said, it's Hashem's greatest nachas ruach in the world when people daven to Him for the small things. You know, you think, this is how Avodah, the Rambam explains, how did Avodah Zorah start? People say, you can't bother Hashem about the small things. The Torah talked to them about big things. So they went to these, they took the side route, going through the powers that exist in the world. Eventually that became Avodah Zorah. But that's a toast utzim. That's a very great mistake. Yeah, we should ask Hashem for everything we need. From the smallest little thing, buying a hat. That gives a Kodesh Baruch Hu the greatest satisfaction in this world.
I must try that.
What?
I must try that for a hat.
Yeah.
Is it
Shema Malchus? You say with Shema Malchus, yeah? You can say, a person is allowed to say his own tefillah. Yiratzon fanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lo kivsenu, say with Shema Malchus. Reshet tazor li limsoya, whatever you need. And then I have in my sefer, afal pi sheini kedai, even though I'm not worthy for that, tazor li, right? Because that's what Rebbe told me from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon of Mishlei says there's two types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah that will come with emes, and there's a tefillah with rachamim. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu, when he went to Esav, he asked for emes, and he was afraid because he was going at his own merits. Says the Vilna Gaon, after Yaakov Avinu, there's not too many people who could do that. We have to ask Hashem for rachamim. If we come thinking you deserve it, then I can tell you that we don't deserve it. We have some. We have a big, we're, as a American, we're in the red heavily. Yeah. But if you ask Hashem for mercy, then that's a tefillah she'eino chozeres reikon. It'll help all, and that's why, as Rebbe promised me, I was like, promise? How can you promise such a thing? Guaranteed, you know, these type of things, right? And look, there are cheshbon shamayim, you know, I'm not coming to say that this was, you know, I once said, I'll be the guarantor, I'll sign on it, and the guy came with me, so, you know, you owe me $1,000. But the point here is that it's a bechina, the concept here is that this is what Hashem wants. Why does Hashem send us nisyonos with parnasa? Right? We know it stems from Chet Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon didn't realize that, you know, everything, even if it makes a... In Sfarim, Rebbe Yashiv's grandfather, the Leshen, he wrote a sefer called the Leshen. He says, basically, Adam Rishon was right. It was a good cheshbon. There was one mistake. Hashem said not to do it. In calculated cheshbon, it was right. What Hashem wants from us, that we should turn to Hashem alone and not think that it's my own initiative that brought me the success in business, and it's not because, you know, this in the right place in the right time, I'm such a successful person. No. All success comes only from Hashem. And Parshas Shemot helps us understand that. It helps us become Ochlei Man, that every single day we know all of my Hatzlacha is coming for that. And I see myself, you know, I started off with six Avreichim, and we grew Baruch Hashem. And I see, the more you work on Avunah and Bitachon, the more Hashem helps you, right? Because that's what He wants. That's why He gives us Nesoyim. That's what the Medrash, Mishal, if you look it up, I think it's Chaf Aleph Dal, Mishal. Hashem does not send us difficult situations, right? We don't have difficult situations, and then we have to daven. Hashem sends us the difficult situations, so we should daven. The purpose of these nisyonos is to daven. And that's what Rav Chaim Levenstein said, and Chazon Ish as well. He said, live your life with tefillah. Right? David HaMelech said, v'ani tefillah si. I'm tefillah. How does that happen? Right? Chazal say, halabai shon yispal kol yom. You should daven from morning to night. How do you do that? You don't have time for anything else? No. When you have something important to do, say a small tefillah, and then when you get it, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. And you'll see, your whole day will be go different. It's hard. It's hard to make that changeover. Because we really feel, especially, you know, they have these things now, these phones, you know, so you have 60,000 numbers, you know, and I could do, my wife called. Okay, you all these things, yeah? All these things, you feel like you're really empowered and controlled. Even my computer, I turned it on and said, empowering people. Oh, we're empowered. And what happens when your computer breaks? Then you're depowered. But the point here is that we have to think more and more how we could relinquish our power to Hashem. And this is what's going to bring Mashiach. Right? Chazal tell us, if you look at the Gemara, then the Sota, the Mem Tesam and Beis, all the Zemanim from Mashiach are here already. That the land will bring fruit, wine is expensive, you know. I was by a house for Shabbos, $1,000 a bottle for wine. Yeah, I have a little safe I wrote on wine, $1,000 a bottle, right? And this and this and this and this, all of them are here. There's just one left. We have to realize there's nothing. I was coming from the airport yesterday. They sent me a Persian taxi driver. So he was telling me about Iran and America and Trump threatened Iran. Iran's threatening Trump and America. There'll be World War III, whatever it is. Yeah? And whatever, we have to know. Trump is not running the world. And who's the guy, Khomeini, whatever his name is over there. Not these people are not. Even Bibi Netanyahu is not running the world, right? Hashem, who he's for sure not. Well, okay, I have to be careful. Right? Hashem hu Elokim. There's one power in the world, only Hashem. And the more we recognize it, the more we tap into it. And the more you're zoche to get it. Okay? So I thank everyone here. I have a few copies of my Sefer on Parnassa and a few other things I've written. And I'm really grateful that you gave me a chance to speak here today. I wish everyone a good summer and a good year. And Shana Tova, Masuka, Yisrael Hashem, we should be zoche to be in Yerushalayim for the Gula Krova. Amen. I'll be telling you about the